The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We are coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And we're getting some very disturbing stories that are coming into us this hour. Talked about the latest absolute waste of money by Sound Transit, the most wasteful public agency in the history of the United States of America. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. We'll talk with Chris Sullivan about that coming up in just a couple of moments. But before we get to that, let me get some breaking news that is just coming into us this hour.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
You no doubt remember a couple of months ago, there was an absolute tragedy for a family down in Maple Valley. The husband, he and his wife had been married for 30 years. They had two grown daughters. There's so much about the story that just resonated with me just because we were about the same age. We'd kids about the same age. This dad had just made a commitment to his health because he and his wife wanted to have a long, healthy, happy retirement, and he knew that he had to get better at this. But now it's all over, and that's because the husband, the father, he went for a run on a Sunday morning about 7 weeks ago. And he liked to run real early. He would go running at about 4 a.m. Well, his wife works as a nurse, and she leaves early on Sunday mornings, about 6:30. And she thought that it was very unusual. Even if her husband would go for 15-mile runs, it was very unusual for the runs to be so long that he wouldn't be home before his wife. So she rather nervously left for work with her husband, Greg Moore, not yet home from this run. And then she kept trying to call his cell phone. No answer. She called other family members and said, "Dad's missing." And people started driving on what they knew his route to be, and they couldn't find him. And then a couple of hours later, on this Sunday morning, there were people going to church right next to a ditch by the side of the highway, and somebody saw a body lying in that ditch, and it was the body of Greg Moore, who had been hit by a hit-and-run driver. Now, the working theory was if he was hit about 6 a.m., it was probably somebody who had been up drinking all night, who, instead of catching a vehicular manslaughter attempt, they thought, well, maybe if I can just lose the cops for a few days, they will not be able to prove what my blood alcohol level is, and maybe I can get a lesser charge. But the police down there did some fantastic work. They started checking all the security cameras that they could find, and they saw a vehicle that was on that road at very close timing to when Greg Moore would have been running by that intersection. Okay, a couple of days ago, the Moore family had raised, via GoFundMe, they had raised $35,000 for information leading to the arrest and conviction of whoever was driving the hit-and-run vehicle that killed Gary Moore. And I have to tell you, every time I've talked about this story, I have gotten so many text messages from people down in the Maple Valley area because he touched a lot of lives down there. And I know how heartbroken the entire community is. A couple of days ago, they told us who they were looking for, even though they had not found this person. She was 15 years old. A 15-year-old girl, and she now has turned herself in. But we're getting some more information. Gary Horker at Cairo 7 News, is reporting on Twitter that the girl was high when it happened, that Gary Moore was hit intentionally at a very high speed, and they expect the 15-year-old girl to still be charged as a juvenile. Here's some audio. Michelle Moore is reading the report of her husband's death.
There was a passenger in the lead car that said this. There was a driver in the car behind that was traveling with them that said this. And there was a family member who overheard conversations about the event and said this. This family member heard the individual laugh about the way Greg's body flew up in the air when she hit him. After fatally striking Greg, she turned around, presumably to see if he had died, and then fled the scene. She went on about her life for 7 weeks. 7 weeks of torture for my family and me. She was eventually turned in by a family member, and I am incredibly thankful to that strong and brave person. Because the perpetrator of this crime is 15, she is to be tried in juvenile court. I would argue that the brutality of her crime and blatant disregard for human life warrant her being tried as an adult. Dan Satterberg is the head King County prosecuting attorney and an elected official. He is the man with the power to bring justice to my family by trying this individual as an adult. She knew what she did was wrong. She acted with intent, and she didn't come forward until she knew she was caught.
Wow. Now, I want to clarify. I said she was high, and I misread this document we were just getting in. I read it wrong. She hit his body, and it flew high through the air. But apparently, the girl thought it was funny. They believe that she intentionally swerved her car to hit a husband, a father, to send him to death. She looked around to see if he was dead. Who knows if he died from the impact, if she had immediately gone for help. Is there a chance that Greg Moore's life could have been saved? And then, Dan Satterberg is going to charge this 15-year-old murderer, if she is guilty of what has been alleged, is going to charge her as a juvenile. Now, this is the sick poison of our politicians around here. That Dan Satterberg legalizes drugs, creates just a dystopian nightmare in our region with the drug problem, the crime that comes with it, the murders that come with that. We have Dow Constantine, who is part of the No Youth Jail movement. Dow Constantine is on board with 15-year-olds swerving their car to intentionally hit a jogger at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And Dow Constantine is on board with making sure that they are never tried as adults. Even killers are not tried as adults, because of the No Youth Jail movement that Dow Constantine is the primary proponent of. Dan Satterberg is also someone who is part of this No Youth Jail. Nicole, is all of this news is just coming into us, and I know that we are just getting a fire hose worth of information. I know you've reached out to Greg Moore's wife, who we've talked to before. If we can hear back from her, that'd be fantastic. What about the prosecutor's office, Nicole? Could reach out to them?
This is brand new information, so yeah, we'll reach out. We'll see what they say.
I would love it if we could get the prosecutor's office on to explain to us this hour how, in the name of God, a 15-year-old who they believe intentionally swerved to hit this man to kill him, to end his life. And so then what? She'll 6 years from now, she can just be out gallivanting on the streets, free as can be, 21-year-old with a whole lifetime of happiness ahead of her, if she could turn her life around. For the Moore family, they're going to have to live with this the rest of their lives. They're going to have to live with what is even the initial notification of this family was nightmare enough. Your husband's dead. Your dad is dead. That's horrible news to get. But now, 7 weeks later, they are told that they believe that the alleged killer swerved her car to intentionally hit Greg Moore because she wanted to see how far his body would fly through the air when struck at 55 miles an hour on a semi-rural highway down in Maple Valley. And how sick are our voters that continue to put Dan Satterberg and Dow Constantine in positions of power? Bob Ferguson, our attorney general. Do you think so when Jay Inslee thought that Tacoma police officers were going to be exonerated in the Manny Ellis killing because there wasn't enough evidence to convict them? So what does Jay Inslee do? He says, nah, forget about the Pierce County Sheriff investigation. Nah, forget about the State Patrol investigation. We're going to just have Bob Ferguson do it. And as soon as that was announced, you knew with 100% certainty that the outcome was preordained and that they would slap murder charges, unprecedented murder charges on these cops. Let's see if Jay Inslee would do the same thing here. See, going to get Bob Ferguson to override a county prosecutor, a county exec who believes that innocent little 15-year-old girls shouldn't go to jail, even if they kill somebody. Let's see if we can get a little executive override on this one. So if you're just joining us, the vehicular homicidal killer of Greg Moore, she has turned herself in. She's 15 years old, and they believe, according to detectives, that she swerved to hit this man running down the road. She turned to see if she had hit him and sped away, not telling a soul. And she's going to be charged as a juvenile. Okay, this is, as we've been telling you, this is breaking news. We are working very hard. I would love to talk with our prosecutor about this, who says that he still expects her to be charged as a juvenile. We'll continue to try to get the widow of Greg Moore, and we will get anything more we can on this horribly, horribly tragic story. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
And then you have the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America. Sound Transit has also been a site of a lot of increased violence, especially over this last year and a half, as ridership has been way down and some of the few people riding the Sound Transit trains are homeless vagrants who have been just riding around in circles. Our transportation specialist is Chris Sullivan, and he has an update, because Chris, is it true that there are going to be fewer and fewer law enforcement officers on Sound Transit trains now?
Yeah, for the next 8 months, basically, the fare enforcement officers are out of work. They've been replaced with a kindler and gentler version, basically what they're calling fare ambassadors. that are going to get on the trains to check for proof of payment. And they will be wearing bright yellow hats and wearing nice outfits and carrying bags of information that they will give to people that have not paid for their light rail or Sounder rides. And so this is a change. And one of the primary reasons, Dory, is that there was some feedback from or to Sound Transit, and Sound Transit says that a lot of riders felt uncomfortable that the fare enforcement officers look like police and they were intimidated by them and they didn't want them on the trains anymore. And so now they're going with this kind of gentler touch for the kind of the optics on what the fare officers are going to be. And they're just going to be ambassadors and they will still check everybody for fares when they come on. But if you don't pay, it's okay. For the next 8 months, they're not going to give any citations. And for people who haven't paid, they're going to give a leaflet that has a QR code for them to go find out information on how to get low income ARCA cards or how to get passes or things like that are subsidized by King County. So the fare enforcement is out and in is the fare ambassador program. It started yesterday on light rail and Sounder.
Okay, and so I want to make sure I understand this. So it was the people riding the trains, not paying, who felt uncomfortable by people who looked like cops?
That's one of the reasons. The feedback, they didn't say exactly whether it was the people that were being hit with enforcement or whatnot, but they want this to be less of an enforcement arm than more of an education and customer service arm. The people say they felt uncomfortable seeing people that look like police officers coming on the trains and checking for payment. There have been some issues in the past where some people had claimed that the officers were, you know, specifically profiling or targeting certain people. They changed the policy a few years ago where when they come on the train, they check everybody, and that will still be the case, but they want it to be more of a customer service angle than they want it to be a discipline or enforcement angle.
Yeah, I would hate to make people who are intending to not pay for their ticket, I would hate to make them feel uncomfortable. That's just not being fair of us to make them feel uncomfortable like that.
Yeah, it's just something, you know, there's been a big change, not a big change, but an ongoing kind of an undercurrent of the word equity that's been going on everywhere. I mean, I know you know it. We've talked about it before when it comes to transportation projects. I know when the West Seattle Bridge ran into its issues initially, they were talking about the equity of where to put the detour routes and, you know, things like that. That word started coming into the fore very heavily over the last couple of years.
Why it's come forward in the last couple of years? Because with my woke word dice that I have right here, equity comes up surprisingly high amount of times.
There have been legit issues, but that seems to be one of the primary drivers, is they're trying to make sure that the, you know, the enforcement ambassadors are more diverse in, you know, perhaps more men, women, folks of different minority groups or whatnot, so they represent the people who ride the bus, ride the light rail or the Sounder trains. That's something that CEO Peter Rogoff had said. He was really happy with the diversity of the first group of ambassadors that they've got on board. And so basically this is an 8 month trial. They're going to see how it goes. Because obviously they know they've got to collect fares, but for the next 8 months, you've got carte blanche to not pay if you don't want to, because there are no citations going to be given. But they're going to see, they need fare box, because Sound Transit, despite, in addition to being funded by the taxpayer, the vote, the $54 billion, it's all funded by sales tax and the fare box. And if people aren't paying, they're going to be in an even bigger hole. And right now they're already facing a $6.5 billion hole coming out of the pandemic. So, you know, the fare box at some point has got to become something they worry about. But right now it's not as they try to break out this new program.
I feel like I've paid way too much in Sound Transit taxes already. So this would be my way to get back if I just start riding the bus and the train and just don't pay anything for the next 8 months.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Dory, to get up to where you live and to catch the light rail in Linwood, you're going to have to wait until 2024 to actually start riding that train to get the bang for your buck, because that would be your nearest station. Would be there in Mount Lake Terrace.
Well, tell you what, Sean, you ride the bus every day. Do you pay every time you go on?
I do, yeah. There is one exception. There's the rapid ride. I take the D line every once in a while, and that one you can enter on the back door without, I mean, you're supposed to pay with your ORCA before you get on the bus unless you get in the front. Mm-hmm. But I'll get on the D-line and not pay.
Okay.
No problem.
So,
and again, Dory, this is only for light rail and sounder. This is not for the express, but the BRT. Metro. This is only for the train aspect is where these fare ambassadors are going to be.
All right. But the bottom line is cops out and non-threatening people in as our, what are they called? Fare ambassadors?
Yes, with bright yellow hats. So they'll be easily recognizable.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures. They look like the two I see look like quite young women doing the job. So I just hope they're safe.
I checked with Sound Transit, and I know we're running up against a break, but you know if there are issues, they still have the ability to call the transit police, call the local police, call security. I mean, they won't be too far away because obviously they don't want to put any of their folks in any kind of danger. But I checked with that, and they said, yeah, they will have the ability for rapid response if one of these ambassadors comes across an unruly customer or something like that.
See, this is what I might do in my retirement. I know a guy who is a great skier. He's a lawyer. And he got a place at Sun Valley, and he makes like $8 an hour just as a slope monitor. He just skis around, tells people if they're going too fast. But he just loves it. He just loves being out there every day. I might do that, Chris, in my retirement. I'll just become a fare ambassador, and I'll be a fare to Midland ambassador. And I'll just walk around the bus every day, and I'll just chit-chat with people. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I like it. That would be great.
Okay. All right, Chris. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Sure. Anytime.
Okay. Cops out, fair ambassadors in Sound Transit. That's your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
All right, we're working several angles of the breaking news as, once again, a region is a moral disgrace where we have an awful lot of people in power who do not believe a 15-year-old alleged killer should go to prison. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. But it is 2021 Puget Sound area. More details on our breaking news coverage next here on the Dory Monson. A very busy afternoon. As lots of breaking news has been flying at us since we went on the air at noon today. We were just about to go on the air when I found out that my favorite stand-up comedian, Norm Macdonald, that he passed away after a very quiet 9-year battle with cancer. And I'll talk a little more about him in just a couple of minutes. The other breaking news story that was just in the last half hour, the man, the jogger, who was killed by a hit-and-run driver down in Maple Valley 7 weeks ago, the 15-year-old girl who is the suspect in that case has turned herself in, and it's just a horribly tragic story. But she knew that she hit him. According to family members, she turned around and she looked to see if the guy that she sent flying through the air, if he was behind her, and if so, he was almost certainly dead. And she stayed on the run for 7 weeks and now has turned herself in. And we are hearing, and we'll continue to pursue every aspect of this story tomorrow, but we are hearing that the prosecutor's office, and in fact, the man's widow, Michelle Smith, she was going to join me tomorrow as well. But we're told that she's already been informed that the girl is going to be charged as a juvenile for killing her husband. We are an absolute joke in this region when it comes to dealing with criminals, especially we've got so many 13, 14, 15-year-old murderers and rapists, and we have Dow Constein and county prosecutor who do not like to charge kids as adults, even if they commit the most adult of crimes, murder and rape. And it is a sickness. It's an absolute sickness in this region. As I said, Norm Macdonald, my favorite stand-up, one of the most talked about stand-up sets ever was on his final appearance on David Letterman's show. He was a particular favorite of Dave Letterman. In fact, Letterman produced Norm MacDonald's Netflix show, after executive produced it, after Letterman went off the air. They only did one season, which was surprising, but maybe it was just all these worsening health battles, because we're told today that Norm MacDonald had a nine-year battle with cancer and finally lost that battle earlier today. But here's just a part of his final stand-up set on David Letterman's final week.
I watch the TV, I watch the news, make you afraid, the news, you know, put all these stories on, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, you know, try to scare you, you know. But does it ever really scare you? Like, you ever wake up in the middle of the night, North Korea! That little tiny country across the ocean. I wonder if they'll get me. Plus, didn't MASH settle that like 20 years ago? Why did I have to watch that stupid show? There is one country that worries me, though. Not Iraq, not Iran, not North Korea. The only country that really worries me is the country of Germany. I don't know if you guys are history buffs or not, but in the early part of the previous century, Germany decided to go to war. And who did they go to war with? The world. It had never been tried before. And so you figure that would take about 5 seconds for the world to win, but no, it was actually close. Then about 30 years pass, and Germany decides again to go to war, and again it chooses as its enemy the world. And this time they have that guy, Schrankly, Crankly, that guy. And I'm not even going to dignify him by saying his name, but I think you know what I'm talking about. But you'd think at that point the world would go, listen, Germany, here's the deal. You don't get to be a country no more on account of you keep attacking the world. What do you think, you're Mars or something? Anyways, listen, folks, this will be my last time on the David Letterman show, I understand. And you know, you guys, we all know that David Letterman was the greatest talk show host who ever lived. But I remember Dave differently, because the first time I saw him, I was 13 years old. I was living in... I was living in Toronto.
Those so unexpected, because he was in the middle of this great funny set and people thought maybe he was goofing, but he got so emotional talking about this. And it was just very, very sweet.
Canada, and I went to a talk show they had there, and David Letterman was the stand-up comedian on the show. And I loved stand-up. And David Letterman did this joke that I told everybody, this joke. I love this joke. It's still... stays with me as my favorite stand-up joke ever, so I'd like to do it for you if you'd like to hear it. He goes, I was on the street the other day, and I saw a garbage truck, and on the back of the garbage truck, there was a small sign that said, "Please do not follow too closely." Another of life's simple pleasures ruined by a meddling bureaucracy, ladies and gentlemen. You remember the old days when Dad would pile the kids in the station wagon and we'd all go out and follow a garbage truck? So anyways, I'd just like to say, I know that Mr. Letterman is not for the mawkish And he has no truck for the sentimental. But if something is true, it is not sentimental. And I say in truth, I love you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Norm MacDonald's final stand-up set on Letterman's final week of broadcasts. And this morning we lost one of the all-time greats, Norm MacDonald, just 61 years old after a bout with cancer. Man, he brought a lot of laughter into this world. Take quickest of timeouts, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio is coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, it's been a very busy day. Lots of great stuff that I haven't even gotten to yet. Including in our awesome audio. Oh, did I do the awesome audio open, Sean?
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio. Clips of the day.
Big controversy. The coach of the Washington State Cougars, Nick Rolovich, he still has not announced if he's vaccinated. And as a state employee, it is mandated that he get vaccinated or else he's not allowed to be on campus. He says he's going to abide by the mandate, but he will not say if he has. And it's too late now if he hasn't gotten the first in a two-shot sequence. So, and he, by the way, is the highest paid state employee in Washington, Cougar coach Nick Rolovich. He had a pretty good back and forth earlier today with Chris Daniels at King 5, and Chris Daniels gave him a pretty good grilling on this.
Have you received your shot or have you scheduled your shot?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that, Chris. I understand what you guys are trying to get to, but...
Are you seeking a religious or medical exemption?
I'm not going to talk about that either, Chris.
What's been your hesitation with talking about it more forthcoming?
I don't know that it's all that positive to get deep into it with the media the way it's going. So I'm just going to try to keep that to myself and concentrate on being a coach here.
But I think you can understand that you're the highest paid state employee and that there are fans, teachers, and students that are upset about your stance on this and your lack of insight about why you haven't said that you've received the shot or not. How do you answer those people that are upset about your stance on this?
I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say here.
Well, there are people who have said that you should be suspended or terminated by Washington State University over your lack of a statement on this, on whether you're going to get a shot or not.
Okay.
I mean, there are people that are upset and would like some clarity from the highest paid employee in the state about whether they're going to get the shot or not.
Okay. I understand that.
So, again, will you get your shot or have you scheduled your shot?
I'm not going to answer that, Chris. And we're going to move forward with USC at this point.
They had themselves a little showdown. All right, I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But the Tom and Curly Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. I will have a lot to say if this girl's truly treated like a juvenile. I'm already planning out tomorrow's show, so do not miss a second of it. Thank you again for hanging out with us. Tom and Curly coming up next. See you tomorrow. Hi now.
This show is truly good for nothing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.